friends, and welcome to the latest, slightly delayed episode of the Kings of Anglia podcast, number 60, I believe. Hutch?
This is a golden wedding.
That's what it is, actually,
it's
yeah.
It's our golden podcast.
So have you got me gifts?
It's not yours.
Wow. So. Okay. Anyway, as I say, slightly delayed. Easter scuppered the plans, but obviously that was because football was being played, and Ipswich Town predictably lost another two games. What I'd like to suggest is we don't talk about that for quite some time, because it's quite depressing. So let's have a general catch-up first, boys. Host as ever, Mark Heath. The Dr. Stephen Watson, slumped in his chair next to me.
I'm not slumped.
Wow.
I'm all right.
Posture, my friend, posture.
I've got bad posture.
You do have bad posture. How are you, friend?
All right.
Well?
I'm very well.
Excellent.
I'm very much up for keeping football chat to a minimum today.
Don't you worry yourself, that's exactly what we're going to do. And of course, on my left hand, the man, the baby rabbit, the pet rabbit, Michael Hutchins. Hutch Hogan!
Keep going. Hutch Hogan. I want to talk about football. I want to talk about Preston 4, Ipswich 0 in great detail.
No, I disagree. I overrule you as the host.
Great detail.
No. Boys, what have we been up to? Obviously, since we last spoke, Town have played twice, as I say. We'll shift that to one side for the time being. Did you enjoy Easter? You've both got young children. Were there Easter egg hunts going on?
Well, Easter weekend for us obviously includes travelling to Preston and back.
That was the Friday, yeah.
Good Friday, yeah.
And it was a good Friday.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Then writing a bit about that game and then previewing another meaningless game on the Saturday.
Stu, I know you do lots of work. I want to talk about the stuff you don't do when you're at work, or when you're not at work, rather.
Yeah, there were some Easter egg hunts. I snatched a few hours on Sunday to do a bit of the usual Easter stuff. That was good.
Hutchie? Jessica get some Easter eggs?
Yes, it was well. It was her birthday.
Of course it was, so yeah.
We had, she had a festival, basically.
Jess Fest.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Saturday was a house full of 10 babies, which was chaos. Don't want to do that again. Certainly not for another year. Then Sunday was a house full of 25 family members, arguably worse. Don't want to do that again.
I imagine that'd be much worse.
But over 100 Easter eggs hidden in our house.
Wow.
Still finding them now. I found a cream egg yesterday.
Tremendous.
Just behind the radiator. I'd hidden it.
Behind a radiator?
Oh. Yeah, they're not on, are they, at the moment? It's been lovely.
Ah, good point, good point.
Find that in time for winter.
And what did you actually do for her birthday? Because her birthday was Tuesday, wasn't it?
Mate.
Zoo?
Yeah.
Classic. Colchester?
Yeah. It's a good zoo.
It's a great zoo.
Yeah, as zoos go, it's a good one.
I'm not sure how I feel about zoos after watching Blackfish, but yeah.
I've been to some horrible zoos.
That's a good zoo.
But that one's a good one.
Does she have a favourite animal?
Yeah, birds. All birds.
Can she speak? Can you say anything yet? As opposed to,
she can do a little sign language for bird.
Oh, like the beak?
Yeah, she does the beak. And she can go, ba, ba. Anyway,
very advanced.
No more advanced.
Red pandas, if you're asking, my favourite animal. Colchester's.
Red pandas.
Have you never seen them?
They're great, mate.
They're very cute. Outstandingly cute.
Good lads.
I once sponsored one for a year at Colchester Zoo. True story.
In association with Mark Heath.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was his name?
I can't remember. Oh. Something Chinese, I believe.
John.
Yeah, he meant a lot to me. chaps, Stewie, we should also mention, of course, while we're on the subject of Easter, how's your healthy eating going?
It's going good. Yeah. Andy will attest to this. He's
doing well.
Yeah.
Showed remarkable willpower.
Well.
We talk about food a lot on this podcast, and our eating arrangements for away days is particularly poor. Too many meals, too many bad choices. I think I had a bit of a moment on the way back from Brentford, wasn't it? Where our faithful driver Barry was passing back fizzy drinks and chocolate bars and crisps at gone midnight, and I just thought this has got to stop. So since then, I've been a very good boy. I've bringing in salads, haven't I?
And Stuart Watson has been bringing
in
salads.
Deepdale.
Yeah,
we sat in a service station while the boys went off to KFC and Burger King and various other outlets.
Hutchie sent me a great picture of you, sort of looking forlornly and longingly with lust at sausage rolls and stuff.
But the great thing is, he went back to his sweaty packed lunch and
he
ate
did.
It.
And you sent me a picture to confirm.
You had a look round all the little kiosks, didn't you, going, oh, shall I? And then you had your sweaty sandwich, and I was proud of you.
The warmth of the smugness keep you warm afterwards? The
sweaty sandwich that had lived in some cling film in a lunchbox at the base of my backpack that had travelled all the way up to Preston. And then halfway back again was then consumed. It was very sad, but I felt good about myself.
So how long is it now? Is it 2 weeks you've been Eating healthily? Yeah. Have you got a target? Weight loss?
Not really. Just want to feel good.
Look good.
Well, that's secondary.
He's glowing, isn't he?
He is, isn't he?
Looking good.
He's smiling. His skin's got a nice tint to it.
Ridiculous.
I'm with you, actually, Stu. I myself have found myself being a bit of a fat bastard recently, so I'm also tightening up the old diet. So, yeah. Updates as we go on that.
Good work.
Let's also speak, boys, before we get into the football, things that really rev our engines is good TV, right? Yeah. So, Line of Duty, obviously, we normally have a chat about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also talk this week, because it's not a Monday, we can talk about Game of Thrones, which I know Stu is a particular favourite of yours. So, obviously, before we start this, there are going to be spoilers. So, if you haven't watched the episodes,
sort then, yourself out then and
skip,
watch it.
Well, yeah, it's Thursday or Friday. Mm-hmm. Skip forward 5 or 10 minutes and get on to the boring football stuff, and we come on to that. If I get anyone coming up to me and saying, well, I've only just started watching Line of Duty from season one and you spoiled it for me, piss off. Like, we can't ever talk about anything if that's the case.
Yeah, that's
there can true. Be no spoilers.
We said this last time. If someone started watching Ipswich Town's season now,
yeah,
get over it. They went down.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's not a good one.
Talking of spoilers, have you been following the Wayne Hennessy story?
Absolutely, yes. It's my favourite story of the season.
Claims that he did quite clearly a Nazi salute out for dinner.
Doesn't know what it is.
Claimed he was covering his mouth and hailing the waiter at the same time, and he got off.
Didn't he
the
also
FA
claim
charge said that he showed a lamentable lack of knowledge about
he
all things
that
Nazi
he'd
Germany.
Never heard of the Nazis or something.
Basically,
didn't know what Nazi
grew up in.
Was.
He grew up on Anglesey, and apparently that's not a thing there. Yeah. And then the best bit was Roy Hodgson's input into this, where his quote saying that Wayne is desperate to learn about the Nazis.
But somebody's dug out a really old tweet from something like 2014, where he and his teammates obviously went off on one of these, you know, visits to I don't know where, but it was based around World War One.
Mm. It was a cemetery, wasn't it?
Cemetery, yeah. And someone said, I like the idea that he learnt about World War One, but then decided that, no, I'll stop there, and didn't move on to World War Two.
If he wants to know, of course, a little bit about the German national anthem, I know where he could go, Stewie.
Yeah.
Someone I know, very close
even
to me.
I think we may have sung the Nazi version.
I think we
on
did.
Here as well.
Yeah. I think I said at the time it had different connotations. At the time.
We haven't actually formally apologised for that, have we? The first attempt when we were just doing it off the top of our heads is actually the illegal band version.
The Nazi version, yeah.
So yeah, no spoilers for Wayne Hennessy, but it doesn't end well for the Jews.
What should we talk about first? Should we go Game of Thrones or should we go Line of Duty? I'd like to go Game of Thrones, and I want to come back to Stewie Watson. Stewie Watson, you're the man with lots of theories on TV. You mentioned another one to me last week, which I think is going to come true next week, which is that this week's episode of Game of Thrones I really enjoyed. There wasn't any action at all. It's loads of people sort of sitting around philosophising and talking about lives before they're all going to get murdered.
Impending deaths.
They're all just forming lovely relationships,
aren't they?
They're going to get torn apart.
Ruined. Absolutely ruined, all of them. And it kept teasing this, you're going to be in the crypt because that's where it's the safest. Let's go to the crypt because that's where it's the safest place to be. A place full of dead bodies. We know that the old Night King, the lad, likes to reanimate corpses.
Mm.
And you said to me, more than a week ago now, you said, what's going to happen is old undead Ned's going to come back, start slaughtering folks left, right and centre. And I think that's going to happen.
Mm.
I think we're going to see that next week in what is going to be an episode full of murder and death. What are you saying?
Yeah, isn't there a bit in the trailer where Arya's running scared from something in the crypt?
In the crypt. I think that is undead Ned. That's my prediction.
Yeah, all of the sort of dead Starks coming back as sort of zombies.
Merkin folks.
In terms of technicalities, how is it possible for whites to reattach heads as part of the...
Good question. Stu Watson, you're...
Because Ned's head is null connected to the rest of his body.
Would
right
it have
now.
Been given back to the family after...
I assume his...
Because it was on a spike for a while, wasn't it?
Good point, yeah.
Just up on the wall.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the headless body of Ned.
Could be.
Who knows?
Have they been able to get Sean Bean back involved? That's the question.
Mm. It did seem a bit of a waste to get Sean Bean on the show only to kill him off really quickly.
That's what he does though, isn't it?
I know.
All of his things, he gets killed off well soon. So yeah, I reckon your theory is going to be correct. Who's going to die? Can I ask you that?
Brienne, it's surely
she's definitely
going to
die. Yeah,
she's
off. She's a dead woman.
Mm.
Jaime Lannister?
Mm.
Probably not yet.
Possibly. Grey Worm's got to go, isn't
he's going. what's his name, beardy guy?
Tormund.
No, but he probably is going to die. Well,
he's the wild thing in it.
Yeah, is it Sajura?
Yeah, I think he could.
He's
go
a dead
as well.
Man. Little fighty lady. What's her name?
Little fighty lady.
You know,
the little gobby lady.
One. The gobby one. Gobby insisted she wanted to fight. She's going to die.
Oh yeah,
she's going to get murked.
My daughter's nursery is ringing me. I'm going to step out.
Oh, okay.
Do you carry on talking about Game of Thrones?
Look at it. I hope, my friend.
I hope it's.
You carry on.
I hope it's good news.
We'll see.
Okay. Yeah. So, what are you saying then, Stu? Who else is going to die? Is Tyrion going to die? Because he's down in the. He's going to be down in the crypts as well. Samwell Tarly's down there. Is he just going to cull everyone, basically, pretty much?
It's not going to end well for a lot of people, is it?
Because everyone, with the exception of Cersei, is pretty much there.
Yeah.
All the main characters.
Well, there's a theory, I don't know if you've seen this online, that the old Night King.
Yeah.
The plan is obviously for Bran to lure him out to the Godswood or whatever.
Yeah.
He's going to go south. He's going to slip them all. He's clever.
Sell him a dummy, go down south
and take out the Lannister army first and then come back north.
That would be good TV. That would be good TV.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be epic.
How's it all going to end? How many people do you reckon are going to survive? Because I read a great theory that it's going to end with Daenerys on the throne as the Ice Queen.
That she turns bad?
Yeah, she turns. Obviously, already one of her dragons is gone.
Yeah. She's already going to go a bit mad, isn't she?
The old Jon Snow news. Didn't take that very well, did she?
No, very badly.
You've been shagging your uncle or whatever it is.
I think it's going to end with some sort of open storyline that's based around the offspring of the various houses. So Arya,
yeah,
was that necessary sex scene with her?
It wasn't.
A bit uncomfortable.
It really wasn't. No.
But she's now could be carrying the child of a Baratheon.
Oh, here we go.
And then there's Daenerys is obviously got a is pregnant with Jon's child.
Is she?
Well,
that's what you're saying.
I think so. Okay. Yeah. Cersei's pregnant.
Everyone's pregnant.
Yeah. So there's bloodlines that can continue when people die. I think it's heading down that way.
We will have to have numerous spin-offs and prequels and sequels and all sorts, won't we?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
It's making too much money for it to finish.
Exactly. Yeah. We can't just finish it.
So I'm back.
Good right. news. Anything to worry about?
Not great, but we'll carry on.
Do you need to be here? Do you need to move on?
In a minute. That I want to talk about. TV.
Okay. Are you sure, friend?
Yes.
Okay. So we've done Game of Thrones now.
Because I can't remember any of the characters.
We've concluded that everyone's going to die and there's going to be loads of spin-offs. So let's talk about Line of Duty, which is the other thing we would like to talk about here. Again, Stewie's theory, my wife's theory, that Kate is going to be the bad. How are my levels, by the way?
You're level.
I'm level. Yeah. Kate, I think, again, we see it edging towards that theory coming true. The Hastings things, obviously, they've played that out so much now. He's obviously on some kind of secondary investigation, I reckon, with the Irish side of things. And probably that woman, who we originally thought was the undercover copper, is involved with the police somehow. I don't know how. But obviously the big twist was old Bent Copper, Bent Bastards, getting his neck slit in dramatic fashion.
Didn't see that.
That was a good twist,
wasn't
it?
That wasn't very nice.
So, what do you reckon about that? Where's that going, do you reckon?
He's dead.
Well, he is dead, yeah. He's not going to come back.
No.
I don't know. That took a bit of a twist last week that I didn't see coming, but I very much enjoyed that.
I thought it was tremendous.
This is been shaping up to be one of the best series of that. Enjoying it.
I read my little girl the same story that... John's wife was reading his kids as he had his neck slit that very evening. And there's something in that story
as well. There was a tweet we received this morning that we couldn't work out where one of our followers said, are we going to read out chicken licking in a Scouse accent? And that now makes sense.
That's the story.
That's it.
And I think there's some relevance in that story as well. Because Chicken Licken goes off to try and tell the king that the sky is falling down. John was going off to try and tell everyone that the police were corrupt from the top core. Down.
Mm.
But Chicken Licken is never able to get his message to the king.
Wow, powerful stuff.
John, is he no able to get his message to the king? Slash anyone.
So once you realised that, were you checking around you...
I checked my neck. Yeah.
No one was wielding a knife.
All was good.
Pretty graphic though, wasn't it, in terms of the murking. I mean, I know this is gangland style, but yeah, I'm sure there'll be a few complaints about that. I enjoyed it.
But enough of slitting necks and people getting murked by Night Kings. Let's talk about something far more depressing. Ipswich Town. They had two games over the weekend, over the long Easter weekend, which we all enjoyed, as Stu's already alluded to. You went all the way to Preston to watch them get humped 4-0.
De Preston.
I'm sure that was exactly how you want to spend your Good Friday, going all that way to watch Town meekly surrender against a mid-table team. And then obviously they came back and were slightly better, but not great on Monday in losing again at home to Swansea. So let's start with Preston, shall we? Who wants to start? Stewie?
Can we just start in general and just say that?
Go for it.
We've had enough now, haven't we? Yeah. I think everybody's had enough.
So to sum up Friday, Andy and I, towards the end of the journey home, it was a very quiet car by this point. I was sat in the front, Andy was sat in the back, and in silent, we exchanged WhatsApp messages in rapid fire, backwards and forwards, that everyone started with fuck off, ... and then we filled in the blank. So it was F off the A1, F off...
I think the OK Diner made it in there.
Really?
I didn't. I'm just done with that.
Did you go to the OK Diner?
Yeah.
You did? Well, you obviously didn't partake.
What did we have on the way up?
I'd say... You had gammon...
bacon steak and eggs. But that was as bad as it got for the day.
Yeah.
Thick cut of gammon. It was basically ham, egg and chips.
The 1980s called. It was meal
wasn't chips.
I had beans on toast and paid about £9 for it. Archant paid £9 for it.
Was it good beans on toast at least?
It was all right. Stu gave me a bit of his hash brown, I think.
Ah.
I did.
Which was very kind of him.
I have to say, on a nutritional level there, what we're talking is your meal was much, much healthier than Stewie's. If you're eating gammon steak and hash browns, that's not that good. So
I just wasn't very hungry. This was like a quarter to 11.
Baked beans, one of the most underrated healthy meals you could possibly have.
Yeah.
Good dose of protein, good carbs, very solid.
And then we got there, we cut it pretty fine, didn't we, to get there.
We shouldn't have gone to the OK Diner either, really.
Travelling on Good Friday to Preston.
How long did it take you?
Got there, we left at 8 in the morning, got there half past two.
The latest we've got to a ground all season. Yeah.
Jesus.
Don't shake your head at us, my friend.
No, I'm not worried about what time you got there. I just feel sorry for you.
Left there at gone 7.
Yeah.
Got home about midnight. All for a very long way to go for a dead rubber. But
does it?
We're aware that we get paid to do this.
If it was me, I was doing that, even if it was my job, and I'd driven all that, not driven, but been driven, had that massive journey to get there, watched the team you're reporting on surrender so meekly in such a lamentable and pathetic style, that would make me angry. Does it wind you up, that sort of thing?
No.
Beyond
I'm
that
a very angry out. Man, so, yeah.
No. I think it would have done maybe if the game mattered.
Yeah.
But it didn't. And it showed. No, I don't really get angry.
You must do sometimes.
You ever seen me angry?
No, you get a little bit stroppy. You don't really get angry.
When do I get stroppy?
You do. Sometimes you go into a little stroppy hutch.
I just go quiet.
Yeah, you definitely get a little bit mardy. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I get angry.
Yeah.
Stewie just...
What do I do?
I don't know. Stewie just slags everything off and moans about things.
Moany.
You get really moany and grumpy. Oh, God, can't believe
that is
it.
True.
It
was rubbish. For all the talk about the fight back starts now and they just released the season ticket prices and we'd had Chambers and Scoos and we'll fight to the end and we owe it to the fans to finish strongly. For all that chat...
It didn't happen.
It just, I guess on some sort of subconscious level, it just looked to me like the season had taken its toll on everybody, both physically and mentally. They looked shot and it was 4-0. It could have been 5-6-7 from start to finish. They were outclassed by Preston are a good model of success in terms of no mugs, and they've on a limited budget. They're building year after year, and a few Preston fans are tweeted that sort of another mid-table side have been made to look like world beaters by Ipswich Town, and a few Preston fans took offence to that, and I had to be very quick to say, look, that comment was designed to be highlight sort of how far Ipswich have fallen rather than any sort of dig at Preston. But you know, we're not talking about Ipswich getting played off the park by Newcastle or Wolves or one of these sort of all conquering championship sides. We're talking about, you know, mid-table sides that are
they're better football teams, aren't they? They have, you saw it with Swansea to a lesser extent, but Preston, there's more, they've got a identity throughout the entire pitch about them. The front four of Preston were great, weren't they? The movement and the interplay there, and Ipswich couldn't handle it, sadly. And let's just get it done. I think we've all.
Did anyone emerge with any credit at all? No, Idris made his debut, didn't he? How did he look?
He passed him by a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. Tough for him because he was playing, making his senior debut on the right wing when he's a central midfielder. Back to that sort of, you know, Ipswich seem to be, we're talking about the academy producing again, they seem to be producing a hell of a lot of central midfielders. That was difficult. It was a difficult game to judge him on, I think. Didn't really make much of an impact.
Credit.
That's about all we can say.
I don't think anybody really came out of it with any.
Not particularly. Will
Keane came on and made a little bit of a difference.
Yeah.
Fast
forward then from that miserable day that you spent together to another miserable day.
Oh, we had a great day together.
Did you?
We always have a good time.
I bet. Monday, you at least didn't have to go far to see Town lose this time. What were we saying about Monday?
7 changes to the team. Better, but that's sort of damning with faint praise. Andy sort of turned to me a minute in and said, well, they look like they've putting in a bit more effort today. There was a bit more of a response in terms of the way they were running and trying to close things down. But ultimately, the class gap was there again. It was a 1-0, but it was a comfortable, at arm's length, 1-0 really, wasn't it?
Yeah, Swansea weren't overly adventurous, I didn't think, after they'd scored their one, because they knew that Ipswich probably wouldn't score.
Town can't score.
So that's been like that with so many games, hasn't it, that teams haven't really felt the need to stamp on Ipswich's throat, and they've been ahead because the threat hasn't been there. So, sad.
2 more dead rubbers to go, boys. How excited are you about that? Sheffield United and Leeds, of course. 2 teams that are challenging for promotion right
now.
I'm
more interested in these because there's at least something on it for the opposition. Bramall Lane will be a good atmosphere on Saturday. They could as good as seal their place in the Premier League with a win over Ipswich at the weekend, potentially. Depending on what Leeds do the following day, but Leeds are doing a good job of
messing up,
binning it off, aren't they?
Classic Leeds.
2 defeats to Wigan and Brentford.
Classic Leeds.
This season needs to finish for everybody's sake now. Fans, players, everybody just needs to. We need to draw a line under this. I said to Andy over the weekend, in many ways, it would have been nice if it had finished after the Birmingham game, and those scenes at the final whistle were the kind of the memory that everyone took away into the summer. And these last few dead rubbers have not helped anyone, really. I think there's very little to gain from these last few games. All it's going to do is damage people's confidence on and off the pitch. You know, the minor benefits of maybe giving the odd player game time here and there is, I think, way overshadowed by the damage that these games could cause.
It's a series that's gone on too long, isn't it, basically, this season?
Yeah, it's lost.
And lost.
You knew what was going to happen in Series 5, but they're still doing Series 7.
On the topic of lost, that was shit, wasn't it? Like, I spent God knows how long, how many hours of my life watching that for it to end up basically just being essentially a dream or something.
Never watched it.
Don't, mate. Was that incredibly
like the original kind of box set?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredibly like gripping at the start, and then you got the impression they'd never thought what would happen past the end of the first series, got commissioned again, and just started writing this batshit crazy stuff.
That's
that was
exactly
kind of
what happened. I think a polar bear just rocked up at one stage and was never mentioned again. That's when I was out.
Tropical island.
How did it get there? I don't remember. Honestly, mate, it's one of the worst things I've ever watched in terms of investing myself in it, and then getting to the end and it's just this ridiculous ending. Anyway, that's a good analogy there, Stu. Yeah. Lost and the Ipswich Town season. Fittingly, the word lost as well.
Yeah.
And obviously, you're off to the press conference later on today, which, as I was saying earlier, you've got to do this dance now where.
I've got to pretend to be interested. Paul Lambert's got to pretend to be interested. No one's interested. Yeah. We're running out of things to ask about now. a few little injury updates. Gwion Edwards pulled up clutching his hamstring in stoppage time on Monday, so that looks like it could be another injury to throw into the mix. Yeah. But all the talk's got to be about preparations for next season now, isn't it, I think?
You're looking forward to speaking to Trevor Chalabar?
Trevor Chalabar's a nice young man, but I don't think he's going to have anything that people are particularly interested to hear about. He's not going to be here next season. Don't think he knows where he's going to be next season. He's talked about how much he's developed this year. He's talked about how he thinks Ipswich Town will be okay next year. I don't think there's a lot more to discuss with Trevor, is there?
Same again.
I don't think so.
Is Big Trev's hair as resplendent in close-up real life as it looks on the TV?
If that's what you're into, then yes.
I'm into it.
Yeah. You look terrible with that.
It wouldn't suit me, but I'm just saying, it's really good hair. Bad. Does he still get the sort of half gold look?
Yeah.
He's stuck with that.
I think it's a strong look for the young man. That's enough of football for the time being. Shall we do a big question? And then we'll come back to the football for the mailbag, the jingle that's dividing our listeners. We'll get onto that as well. And also, we've got a Hall of Fame chat to have, haven't we, at some point?
Yeah.
We have.
So, big question time. Andy, please cue in that dramatic, understated, and probably not long enough intro.
Mark's big question.
There we go. We're going to get a live rendition there, Stu, as well, because I know you like doing it.
No, we've moved on from that now.
Friend. Whose go is it? I can't remember. One of you pick a number between 1 and 52.
Well, unless you want to hand pick one. How many on the list?
Well, it's between 1 and 52, but obviously we've done quite a few of them. So, all right, let's do...
Take them off.
No, I'd like to see what we've done.
Put a little cross next to them.
I do. A little glimpse there. Come on, pick one between 1 and 52.
39.
Strong number. Oh, good one. This is great.
Strong number.
This is great. This is one of my favourites. 39. Your walkout song would be... So, you're a fighter, you're a wrestler, you're a darts player, when they jokingly come out to music as if they're athletes. Complete farce. Anyway, what song are you walking out to?
Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle.
Why?
Was my darts walkout theme tune in our uni darts league.
You actually had a walkout song?
Yep.
Okay.
And a nickname.
Rhino?
No. The Walrus.
Ah, of course!
I know walruses don't live in the jungle, but that was my walkout song. And
you have a little shirt as well?
Yep, gold.
Have you still got it?
I don't think so. I've still got my flights.
Have you?
Personalised walrus flights.
Were you well good at the arrows?
Yeah. I told you, haven't I? If I gave this nonsense up, gave it a year,
I could be a pro.
I could play in the BDO.
Isn't the BDO the shit one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a stepping stone.
Darts isn't a sport though, is it? It's a joke pub game for fat men.
It's a sport.
It's not a sport.
Of course it's a sport.
If it's a sport, so is line dancing. Anything that's involves any
is
sort of skill.
Is snooker a sport?
No.
Snooker's not a sport.
Snooker's a pub game. Couldn't give a toss that Ronnie O'Sullivan lost to some amateur because it's just a pub game.
Okay.
Well, it's not though, is it? It's a professional sport.
It's not. How is it a sport?
I know. If they suddenly started fighting with those cues, would you be into
it? Is cards a sport? Is chess a sport?
No.
How is darts a sport?
Okay, so things that are at the Olympics that shouldn't be.
Well, here you go, because immediately people go synchronised swimming, but that takes an incredible amount of athletic ability.
So athleticism is a...
Faster, higher, stronger, the Olympic ideals. Yeah. That, for me, is what classifies a sport. Darts and snooker are not sports. Yes, it takes a lot of skill, but then so does writing a story, and that's not a sport, and so does Strictly Come Dancing, that's not a sport, but it's far more of a sport than darts or snooker. I'd like to see a darts player who could do 10 press-ups. I bet you couldn't find one.
So I bet you could.
I bet you couldn't.
Curling,
borderline.
Bowls.
Definitely not a sport.
So how many sports are there?
I don't know. I've never written them all down.
What gives curling the edge on bowling and
because I don't know if you've ever tried curling, but it's that's real difficult. There is like
a, so snooker and darts.
No, but in curling there's an actual athletic strength involved. Actually, keeping your core solid while you slide and release that big stone. At least that big curler. That takes
you curl one out.
Athletic ability, your party piece.
Darts is a sport.
It's not a sport. How can you defend it? You can't give me one defence for it being a sport other than just saying, well, it is a sport.
It's a competition between two.
So anything that's competition is a sport?
I'm bored of this chat. darts is a sport.
It's not a sport.
We'll put a poll out. I'm not trying to tell you that it's the most like athletic of sports.
It's certainly not most athletic.
It requires athletic prowess and
it doesn't take any athletic like prowess other than being able to throw
snooker,
a pin at a ball.
But it's mentally the mental strength required.
So is Mastermind. Is that a sport?
Let's do a poll.
Yeah.
It's a sport.
Okay. I'm sure the poll will come back to say darts is a sport. All it means is a lot of foolish people out there who think that shit is a sport. Anyway.
Walk on music.
Back to walk on music.
It's
yours
not my
was
party piece, by the way.
Yours was King of the Jungle. What was it? King of the Jungle?
Welcome to the Jungle.
And why was that? You just like the song?
Yeah.
You pick it?
Yeah.
Stewie?
What would mine be? I've always thought All of the Lights, Kanye West.
That's a great one. Kel Brook, of course, in boxing. That is a fantastic walkout song, but you couldn't have it because that's his.
Oh. Is that claimed?
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't really work. You're looking for a walkout song, you don't want anyone else to have it. And you also want, as soon as that first bar hits, you want people to know it's you walking out.
Yeah. You?
I mean, obviously, my background is fight sports, and I've seen a lot of very good walkouts. Sweet Caroline, Darren Till. Saw that at the O2. That was immense. That's a very sing-along one.
I'm bored of that because we hear it at every football ground we go to now.
Zombie by the Cranberries is another good one.
That's
anthemic.
Good one.
Best one I've ever seen was a fighter called Yoshihiro Akiyama, a Japanese guy. Fought Michael Bisping, another guy who has an anthemic, iconic walkout in Song 2 from Blur. He walked out to Time to Say Goodbye, the opera version, with Catherine Jenkins and... what's his name? Come on. The Maestro.
What?
Blind chap.
Stevie Wonder.
No, not Stevie Wonder. That would be a hell of a remix, though.
David Blunkett.
No, come on. What's his name? I can't remember his name now. That's winding me up. Anyway, the Italian geezer who sang at Leicester when they won the league. The Maestro.
Is he blind?
Yes.
Didn't know that.
Yes. Anyway, their version. And it's but the way he comes out, like, Akiyama comes out with his corner men holding hands and they pause and they bow. So it's a very kind of solemn thing. And for me, the way I interpreted it within the culture of Japanese and the samurai is it time to say goodbye. He's basically saying, I'm accepting that I might die in this fight. You know, the spirit of the samurai, that they do everything as well as they possibly can because in their mind, it's the last time they're ever going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I thought that was incredibly powerful. And again, when we have this chat about fighting and football and stuff, that's to me why fighting is so much better than any other sport because... there is that element of it. There's that risk. You walk out. It's going to war.
Same with darts, mate.
It's not the same as darts.
Oh, man.
It's not the same. So I love that. I love that. That, for me, was the ultimate walkout music.
It gets very sweaty on the hockey.
That does, because we're all overweight.
Dehydration is a serious danger.
Yeah.
Andrea Bocelli.
And that's him. That's the lad, yeah.
Walk-on music, I'd like to think I would go the opposite way from something really fighty and aggressive and just go for something like...
Why can't we be friends?
Just like Thomas the Tank theme tune or something.
Biggie Smalls remix.
Yeah, that I was could sick. Do that as well.
That was sick.
Yeah.
The Pink Panther would be quite good. Be quite good.
Yeah. Excellent. I enjoyed that chat.
Darts is a sport.
It's not a sport. It's not and never will be a sport.
I'm going to do a poll now.
We're doing a live poll.
I'm gonna do it now.
Because I've offended Hutchie.
You're not offended me. I just believe it's a sport. I'm not.
But you can't actually
say...
give me any reason why it is a sport. Other
I'm
than
giving
just
you
saying,
loads of reasons.
Like what?
It's a sport. It's like a mental competition and physical.
So does spelling be a sport?
You're just being silly.
I'm not. How
spelling
is that?
Bee is not a.
How is that not a sport then? If it's mental competition, how is that not a sport?
It's not a quiz. It's like mental strength. It's a test of mental strength.
Well, so anything that's a test of mental strength is a sport then? Is that what you're saying?
Let's move on.
I'm enjoying this.
I'm not.
No, you're not. That's the end of Mark's big question. And see, Hutchie proving my point from earlier, he's just getting stroppy as opposed to angry.
I'm just doing
it. It's not a sport. Move on. It is a sport move on, sorry. So what should we do now? Should we do mailbag, or do you want to talk about this Hall of Fame geezer?
I think we need to talk about that, yep.
Hutchie.
I'm doing a poll.
He's doing a poll.
Okay.
We're busy.
Yeah.
Do you want me to cue this up then?
It's called Peckham Blue.
Peckham Blue, yeah, right.
So, we obviously said that if anybody bought a car from our... Do we have to just refer to them as our former sponsors?
Our former sponsor. They're no longer paying for their name to be read out.
So we won't give them a name check until that's sorted.
Negotiations ongoing.
But
we need to add another zero.
We said if somebody bought
a
car from our former sponsors, then they would automatically become the first ever Hall of Famer. They would leapfrog friend of the show and become Hall of Famer.
Immortalised forever.
Peckham Blue contacted us and said, after we said that our sponsors have been dropped, he was devastated because he said he'd bought a car from our sponsors and was it still valid? And we said, well, as long as it was during the contracted period, then yes, but we would require proof. Now, this is where things get interesting because he has tweeted us a picture in front of a car with a bottle of champagne.
He has.
Does that count as proof?
Well, no, because A, you can't tell where that car's being bought from. I'd like the name.
He has bought the correct brand of car that you might have been able to get from this dealership.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So there are pros and cons. I would like to have seen a bigger version with the garage behind him, proudly emblazoned with said former sponsor's name.
Shaking hands with perhaps a member of staff.
JB himself.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think, give him the benefit of the doubt, he's obviously bought a car. We're going to say it's from our former sponsor because that helps us in negotiations.
We can see the car reg, actually, on the picture, so we could actually just contact the garage and
ask when it was bought.
Do some sleuthing.
Well, I think you can just pay the DVLA to find out more details.
You can.
So.
You can, yeah.
So is that... Andy, you are the keeper of the keys when it comes to friends of the show and Hall of Famers. So your say is final. Is this pending further?
I think it has to be
proof?
Pending. But if he's bought the car in the correct time period, it's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
But we need to know the answer.
Have you polled? Because I want to retweet it.
We've just done it.
Okay. So yeah, Peckham Blue, a bit more proof. And you're definitely in the Hall of Fame. We appreciate the effort of you buying a car anyway. Although it's pointless if it's not from our former sponsor, I suppose.
I'm inclined to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I like
this
it
to be true.
I like it, absolutely. And there's Hutchie tweeting now. So on to mailbag, boys.
Do a little retweet, although...
Right, come on, do your little mailbag thing. That'll cheer you up.
This is split, this is split opinion.
Do you think darts is a sport, Stu?
Do I think darts is a sport? Yes, but... Mark's sort of higher, stronger, faster logic. I think there needs to be some rules in place about what defines a sport, and that to me is a good starting point. And now I'm beginning to question things like where does golf fit in amongst
this? I consider golf a sport, but in using the way that I define a sport, it doesn't fit.
See, golf is 100% a sport,
yeah,
and that is as much to do with mental pressure as it is to the physical side of things.
Because back in
you're
the day,
doing the same technique over and over
before
again.
Tiger Woods came along, they weren't athletes. The people who took part in golf, they were not athletes in any way. They didn't do any training. You know, they just were really good at hitting a little ball. Tiger Woods came along, revolutionised the sport, and now they're all incredible athletes.
See, Andy
as well.
Fordham did the same.
Andy Fordham did not do the same.
The Viking. Is that that dude?
Yeah, he's from Dartford.
One of the most lamentable things I've ever seen is the walkout of Phil the Power Taylor. This kind of slightly paunchy gentleman comes out holding his hand aloft as if he's some kind of elite athlete, and all he does is chuck pins at a board. He couldn't do 5 press-ups. Lamentable.
Your fight sports share something in common with darts.
What's that?
Walk-on girls.
Sexist.
So, exactly.
Anyway, mailbag time. And as a latest iTunes review, 5 stars,
of
course, from a gentleman called Jonah565, said he can't get enough of the podcast. It combines Ipswich Town Chat with epic banter. Correct. Keep up the good work. Although I find Hutch's mailbag vocals make me cringe every time.
That made me really sad.
He's had a real crisis about this.
He has
seen this review.
But
hasn't
we it? Know how happy as people who saw the video last week singing the mailbag jingle makes you, and now Jonah, who, if that's his real name, I doubt it.
Jonah.
He's saying that they make you cringe. He makes them cringe, but they make me happy, Hutch, and I'd be honoured, as I'm sure would Stephen, if you sang them now. before we got into mailbag. Please.
Are you refusing to do it?
Do you really want me to do
yes,
it?
Yes, I do.
Do
you
think it's good? It's just one it's review. Good. It's one you, person's
do
opinion.
Do you think it's good?
I think it's good.
Yeah, I do. Did I pause too long there?
Do you really think it's good?
I do think right. It's the original.
I'm going to do it.
Please sing it.
I'm going to do it. Ready?
Yeah.
Mailbag, mailbag. Mark, Andy and Stu go dipping in the mailbag.
What's cringy about that? Doop, doop. That's see, that's the money at the end as well, isn't it? That's the gravy on the fine meal of mailbag.
I feel that a little bit of light went out in his eyes.
Well, it's one of the things that has given me hope, and that hope has gone because of Jonah. And that's I'm friends with Jonah Lomu on Facebook. Did you know that?
Huh?
I know he's dead.
I'm gonna say R.I.P.
We connected back in the day.
On LinkedIn.
When I was a rugby reporter on Facebook.
You were mates with Jonah Lomu?
Yeah. I know Jonah.
Did you ever meet him?
Yeah.
Again, I feel this is another potchy story that has never been told, much like when you revealed you took three passes to get your driving test. You met Jonah Lomu?
Three fails today.
Yeah, all right, three fails. But so you met one of the most iconic rugby players of all time.
Yep.
The man who stomped a hole in Mike Catt back in 1995 on his way to that fantastic try against England, which I cheered.
Still friends on Facebook.
Yeah. What was he like, the big man? Everyone lovely said he was
man.
Lovely.
Lovely man. Very nice man.
Freakish athlete.
Yep. Very generous with his time. I'll show you that.
That was a real shock when he died, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was kind of...
Friends.
Wow.
Jane and Lonnie.
He had a kidney problem, didn't he?
He did. He was on dialysis.
So when did you speak to him? Did he sign for a team that you were covering?
No, he wanted a few of his All Black teammates signed for the team I was covering, and he was over. He was just very generous with his time.
Tremendous.
Lovely man.
We ought to do one a podcast over the summer when there's not much to talk about. Podcast Extra Time, where we just extrapolate stories out of Hutch that he's not told us before. Yeah. I want to play basketball
nice
with
when
Michael
you meet
Jordan.
Someone iconic and they turn out to be nice. Isn't
yeah, he was very kind.
I met Shane Warne and he was a shit.
Was this
before or after he had the Hollywood makeover with
this
the teeth
at,
and the
this
hair?
Was at the peak of the sort of Liz Hurley inspired weird makeover.
Who's the biggest arsehole you've ever met in sport?
He'd be up there.
Would he?
Yeah, sadly. I might have caught him on a bad day.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'll come back to you on that. I need to filter a few out.
Yeah, I remember formerly of this podcast, Chris Brams, not very taken with Alastair Cook when he interviewed him.
Oh, really?
Was not a fan of Alastair Cook, and then interviewed Eddie Jones pretty much 2 days later, said he was tremendous.
Okay.
So there you go. Make of that what you will. I'm going to come back to you on that, Hutchie. I want to know the biggest arsehole in sport, or arsehole generally you've interviewed.
Oh, generally. I've got loads.
That people will have heard
Alistair
of.
Darling, former Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Any politician, man. I think, would be up there for me. I've interviewed a lot of them in my time. Mm. Nick Griffin, formerly of the BNP.
Ugh.
Odious man.
With his wonky eye.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And he's from Suffolk, of course, Nick Griffin.
Makes me shudder.
From Woodbridge.
I've met both of the Miliband brothers.
Have you?
On separate occasions.
Who's your favourite?
David.
By
quite some distance. I went on with both of them on separate occasions, 2 years apart. Went on a tour of a boiler factory.
Exciting.
With both of them during political visits. That was great.
Yeah.
Also went on that boiler factory tour with Gordon Brown as well.
The big man.
Yeah, he was the big man at the time.
Where is this politically rich area that you were covering?
Worcester. Swing seat.
Wow, okay.
Big swing seat.
That's why the big guns were out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alan Johnson. Former Home Secretary, worst breath of anyone I've ever interviewed. I think he'd had a busy day.
I interviewed, what's his name? Sir David Frost, obviously very, very famous, at a factory in Cambridge for some reason.
Always a factory.
It's always a factory. And he was an interesting man, but he, like you just said, he clearly liked cigars. And he just reeked of cigar smoke. It was quite difficult to talk to him. But yeah, interesting interview. Mailbag. Sam James. Paul Hurst was brought in to put the focus on sports science. Do you still think that is a key element under Lambert? It does feel that something more could be done around injuries. This is another question I got asked last week by Ross Wishart along the same lines, basically saying that after all this stock was put in sports science, the resultant slew of injuries that Town have had kind of leads you to believe that's not really working.
Mm.
Thoughts on that?
Good question. If you actually broke down these numerous injuries in terms of ones that were avoidable and ones that are just freak impact injuries and things that happen, you know, Freddie Sears was an impact where he's wrapped his leg around somebody else's leg on a football pitch. I don't think there's anything you can do.
No, same with Grant
prevent
Ward.
Prevent those, yeah, Grant Ward, you know, you just plant your studs in the turf at the in the wrong way or whatever. It'd be interesting to ask Paul Lambert as to how much emphasis he's putting into sports science, because Marcus Evans made a really big deal of that last year in this sort of new direction that they were going in. I was a little bit surprised that when Hurst and Doig went, that they got rid of Chris Skitt and other people like that that came in, because those sort of behind the scenes guys, the way they spoke about it was that we're putting in place a programme that will kind of last beyond managers, and yet they all sort of went, and Paul's brought in Jim Henry as his fitness guy. But
I think there was an appetite, Ipswich did show an appetite to keep Chris Skitt, but I think he didn't want to. I think the reason he came was because of Paul and Chris Doig, and I don't think he wanted to.
He had a business, his own business back in Shrewsbury and family and stuff, so I guess that's fair enough. But I don't know if the sort of that all the chat about sports science has kind of dimmed a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting. But like you say, I don't know whether a lot of the injury problems this season can be put down to that. I don't know. I don't know enough about physiology and what prevents what and what doesn't, but a lot of them have been pretty freak. And I don't think that you can put Amir Hughes and Tom Adeyemi into this discussion, really, because they were struggling with stuff well before any of this got changed. But yeah, one for Lambert, I guess.
Matt Thomas, how are we doing for time, Hutchie? We want to try and keep this to around an hour, don't we?
45 minutes.
Okay, because last week's was a feature film. Matt Thomas, friend of the show.
Yes, number 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, number 5.
You'll bring your list in every week, just so we know. Is Bart being dropped related to him shaving off the beard? Is it a Samson moment? Is Mark's outward exuberance just because of his hirsuteness? What does this say about Steve and Andy? And this is disappointingly more interesting than the game on Monday.
Hairiness.
Yeah. So would you say I'm outwardly exuberant? And is that because of my beard? I don't really have a beard. It's kind of shorter now. It's more lazy stubble.
Andy's hairier than you. Andy's got a hairy back. I've never seen this back, but he talks about it a lot.
And a sweaty back, as you formerly told
us. They're linked.
Are they?
They're very much linked. Yeah, if you did an analysis of where the sweatiness appeared, you would find a correlation between...
If you'd had a chart.
You would find a correlation between...
So Andy's got like a rug sort of... like hair on the top of his head.
Hutchie's hair to touch is genuinely quite pleasing.
Yeah, very thick.
Do you want to touch
it? We've discussed eyebrows and eyelashes.
Do you want to touch it? Clip that one up.
We now discussed his back. I can also tell you something else about Andy hair related, which he showed me back in pre-season when he was wearing shorts.
This was a long time ago. I know where you're going.
He claimed that he's got a perfectly circular hairless patch on the outside of his thigh, which he claims is where his mobile phone has sat in his pocket and has killed off the hair follicle.
How else could you explain
it? I thought it was absolute nonsense, but he has shown it to me.
Is it not maybe just where the pocket has rubbed on your...
It's just on one side.
Yeah.
Then it's the pocket where my phone has been.
Yeah.
It's just got like a mobile phone-shaped area with no hair.
Do you want to see it?
No, because you'll have to drop
your trousers. This is a public area.
It's a glass-fronted room that we're
in. But I would quite like to make a video of it for the purpose of our viewers on Instagram and Twitter and such.
We'll see how that goes.
I also have hairless areas on my shins from kicking things, which I assume over time has just like deadened the hair follicles there. So I can see it, but I reckon it's more probably due to friction from your stuffed pockets, Hutchie. Anyway.
Incorrect.
We got away from Matt's question there. Bart being dropped. I assume it's not because of his beard.
No, but it's very interesting, this goalkeeper situation now. That so Paul just said he wanted to give both goalkeepers some game time at the back end of the season, and that was always going to be his plan. So Gerks is going to play against Sheffield United, yep. and then Bart will come back in for Leeds. That's the plan. So that's led already to conspiracy theories. Oh, is that Bart's farewell performance? Is he going to be sold? Gherkin is out of contract as it stands and will be a free agent. I mean, that's pretty late in the day to leave that. I think we've said for a long time now that we can't see them carrying two senior goalkeepers in League One, because is that their best use of resource next year?
You wouldn't find many clubs doing that in that league.
So, I mean, who do you think stays and who do you think goes?
Well, the only one they're in control of to make it for Ipswich to be in complete control of is Gherkin. And I'd be amazed if they'd already sorted out the sale of Bart. Mm-hmm. And if they had, I would have thought they'd have extended Gherkin's contract by now and made that known. And but the only one they are in control of and can do what they like with is Gherkin.
It's a hell of a gamble. It's a massive gamble. If you give Gherkin a new contract on the basis that you're going to sell Bart and then you fail to sell Bart, then you're stuffed. So I don't know whether that's all sort of a little bit up in the air at the moment, but it's we're getting a little bit late in the day on that now.
I think in terms of Gherkin, I think we established there's an option in his contract, but mm-hmm. those have an expiry date, and I believe it's 7 days before the final game of the season. That's certainly what it was last year when they took Bishop's contract.
Mm.
There's a date in there. So it's not a case that they can just leave Gherkin hanging and just click their fingers and take an option.
Well, maybe this is Gherkin's farewell performance.
Exactly, that's the way that I read it. If I'm honest, he's been given the home game and then an away game, and then Bart comes back in. I think if they're making a decision on it now, what my gut feeling would be that it would be Gherkin that would be leaving, and they'd be going all in on keeping Bart. But that's a gamble as well, because you never know. There might be an offer in the summer that they feel like we should probably take that in our situation, and then
you go out and you probably get a loan goalkeeper, as a lot of clubs further down the pyramid do. That you look at Shrewsbury under Hurst had Henderson on loan, plenty of others do the same. You can pick up goalkeepers, on frees, and goalkeepers that have had bigger careers that are dipping down a little bit and wanting to get game time again, fed up of being number twos at places. So it wouldn't be the worst position to have to go out and get someone for.
Outstanding debate from one question about Bart's beard. I just sat back and enjoyed the ride on that one, boys. I was a passenger.
What was your involvement in that?
He asked me, if I'm outwardly exuberant because of my hirsuteness.
Is there a link between those things?
Or? I don't think so. No. If you look at Brian Blessed, definitely.
Yeah, very true.
Name me a shy, hairy man.
Shy. That's a good question. Shy, hairy man.
I'll tell you one. Did you used to watch The Bill?
Yeah.
Reg from The Bill has become a very, very shy hermit man and is very, very hairy now.
There you go. Mm. The investigation will have to continue. Onto that one. Ollie Magnus, if I gave you all a tenner to put a bet on where Town will finish next season, what would you go for? I would go for fifth, as I certainly don't think it will be easy, but I'm keeping up the optimism. I've already said top up by Christmas, so that's where I'm putting all my money. What are you saying, boys, who actually know about these things?
My gut feeling's been they'll finish fourth the whole way along. That's if I had to put a tenner on it.
There you go, fourth.
Yeah, probably in the same sort of region, really. I think that one out of Sunderland, Barnsley and Portsmouth aren't potentially going to go up, but at least one of those. So they'll be up there again. I think Bolton with the takeover should be up there. Rotherham know what to do in that league, and then might have one or two that make strides.
Peterborough are always there or thereabouts. They're on the fringes of the playoffs this time. They seem to just find a way to be there.
I'll tell you what, even Lincoln could be. You could get teams that come up with real,
I'm sure,
with real sort of momentum from the lower league, and probably fifth, sixth. I'll go sixth.
That was a classic doctor answer. Like, literally, gives all his working out, and then finally we get to the answer. fifth or sixth after all that. Harvey Davis, friend of the show. Number...
You all right there?
I'm a bit croaky.
Number two.
Number two. Harvey, the man from Wales. Good to have you on board. If Lambert is insistent on playing 4-3-3 next season, should we sell Caden Jackson? Clear to see he isn't a lone striker.
I think there are a few players that you'd have to think about where they're going to fit in if that's the system. Mm.
I think they need to start thinking about, you know, we keep talking about the Ipswich way and having a... They've kind of lacked a bit of an identity for a little while now, and I know you've got to have, you've got to be adaptable for different game scenarios, and that's fine. But I'd like to know what the general formation and type of play is going to be, and then you need players that fit into that system. And Caden Jackson does not fit this 4-3-3 system. He's not a lone striker. They seem to be adamant that they're not going to try and sort of use him as a wide player. So, you know, there might be one or two that have to kind of fall by the wayside in that approach. I mean, if they go out and sign two strikers, then I could see Caden potentially moving on.
Yeah, I think it might be a loan rather than a sale. And I know there would be clubs interested in him if that were to happen. I also think the 4-3-3, he's still not getting the best out of Alan Judge in that.
No.
And that's why I'm not convinced that that is going to be what they go with going forward, because I don't think that's where Alan Judge should be.
We talked about it in the car on the way home, and I think you have to work back when you're picking the way you want to play. You work back from your best players. Who's our best player? Alan Judge. Where's his best position? Number 10. Right, so we work from there backwards, and then so how do we make the rest of our personnel fit around that? It's a major coup to get Judge, and for me he's looking a little bit wasted out on the left because he wants to drift inside, and that causes issues for the fullback. And you know, they need to get back to him being the centrepiece of the team, I think.
Darts update, Hutchie.
64% is a sport, 36% is not a sport.
I fully anticipate that is a sport's going to win, but it's just an endemic example of how society has been brainwashed in thinking it's a sport. Anyway, Tom Beckett, the definition of madness is to keep doing the same thing with the same resources, expecting a different outcome. Einstein, was it, said that? I believe so. Are all Town fans therefore mad? No, is obviously the answer. No. But there is a point there in terms of we're on a big revolving wheel.
Mm.
And nothing ever really seems to change. And yet we hope for better.
Yeah.
Certainly we have to hope for better in League One, of course. But
the same resource thing is, you know, unfortunately there's no obvious answer to that, you know. Say for a billionaire rocking up and buying the club, then that's not going to change. So you've got to try and work out a way of upsetting the odds, which lots of clubs do. Some clubs don't. You know, it's not impossible. And they will be at the top end of the financial pecking order next season. I don't know. Andy?
It's not the fans that are the mad ones, because they're just
along for the ride.
They're just there for the ride. I guess what's happened to Ipswich this season is proof that if you try and do the same thing and it's not going to work, at some point you'll absolutely fall flat on your face and fail. Yeah, we're all mad for liking football anyway, because it's silly.
It is ultimately silly.
Yeah.
It's 22 people chasing an airbag around a field. It is silly by its very nature.
But we
love it. And hence we sit talking about it all the time.
Yeah.
I'd rather talk about fighting. There you go. Georgie Cordy.
Never mention it.
When do we sack Lambert? How many team changes and losses can he get away with? So obviously talking about next season there, Georgie.
I think they're talking about this season, aren't they?
Make of it what you will. I mean, how many team changes and losses can he get away with? Obviously a lot. He's got away with a lot so far.
I'm checking out of judging anything that Paul Lambert does at the moment in terms of his position now.
That's not even a discussion, is it, until next season, basically?
No.
What would be to... Listen, Paul Lambert, it will not be Teflon-coated forever. And it's not, we should be, he's not beyond questioning any of these things that he's doing at the moment in terms of team selection and formations and all that sort of thing. But to then start talking about sacking, it's just what would be gained from changing manager again now? Mm. You know, the whole optimism surrounding this is that last year, I think this year unravelled so badly because they were chasing their tail and the transitional period was poor. At least this time you've had a man in place for a number of months who can be having the wheels in motion behind the scenes. Give him a transfer window, give him a pre-season, and then see how things start to unfold next year.
Yeah. Barney Booth asked two questions. I'm going to ask you the second one. My voice is going. Excuse me. Chances of Gwion Edwards leaving seems like the one player that can have a chance at a decent championship move.
Don't think he's done enough to get a moneyed move to another championship club this year. He's had his moments, start of the season and more latterly, but had a real dip in form during the middle of it. He's done the business in League One. I can't see him going anywhere.
He also asks about, will we ever hear more about certain players' thoughts and relationships with Hurst and Doig? I know there's a little bit about what Bart dealt with, but I suppose as time goes on, that a little bit might come out.
Maybe in the fullness of time, perhaps when...
I think when a few more maybe leave Ipswich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we know which ones we're talking about, don't we?
Do we?
Well... I think Luke Chambers has got more to say about things from last summer.
Yeah, I mean, maybe when he becomes a manager himself and talks more openly about his experience as under manager, he might open a little bit more about that. I mean, Jonas Knudsen, more in the short term, will end up going somewhere in the summer and might have a few things that he wants to get off his chest about this season in general, both Hurst and the way things have panned out under Lambert as well. Yeah, these things tend to come out in the fullness of time, don't they?
Matt Lee, good question, one that we'll all enjoy. What's the best food you've had as press and where was it? Equally, what's the worst food you've had and where was it? Carl Marston speaks longingly and with great joy in his heart of the food at Arsenal.
Saying it's, Arsenal and Chelsea.
Saying it's unbelievable. Obviously, I think he was covering town back in the day, the Carling Cup, wasn't it? That's when he was there. So what are you saying?
Wembley.
Wembley, yeah?
Yeah.
Wembley's, I'd imagine that would be pretty good. And obviously you have to pay a tenner for a burger yourself because you're press. What are you saying?
Villa's been very good.
Yep, consistently good.
Gonna miss that. Yep.
Yeah.
What about the worst?
I don't know about worst, just places where they don't really do a lot and they'll give you a little voucher for the... For the thing.
This is controversial, but when I came to Ipswich Town at the start of the season, I'd long heard talk about the Portman Pie. Thoroughly underwhelmed.
It's just quite a...
Way too much pastry, insipid filling, not enough meat.
I'm also not convinced that actually is the Portman Pie that we get.
Are they lower grade ones?
Really?
Yeah, I think there might be a better standard of pie going around for the big corporate customers. Best, another good one, Aldershot.
Yeah.
Back in the day, a few years ago, they gave me a little packed lunchbox with a sandwich in there, a penguin, a multi-pack bag of crisps, and an umbongo.
Wow! A multi-pack, so like six bags of crisps?
A multi-pack bag. No, just one.
What sort of crisps?
I can't remember what.
Seabrooks?
No, Walkers.
Shame. Yeovil was always quite good. You'd go down there and it was, the press room was this tiny little room and the seating was... like an old sofa that somebody, I think one of the ex-journalists had wanted to get rid of, so he just brought it into the club. And there was a little old lady who did like a tuck shop. He'd turn up and she'd done all her handmade sandwiches and stuff like that, crisps, penguins.
I like stuff like that.
Yeah, two lovely people at Swindon where I used to work as well. Marion in particular used to make sausage rolls for the press area every single week, homemade, very nice.
And we're going to miss QPR's pies, aren't we?
Yeah, that's the travesty of all of this, to be quite honest.
That's the biggest
thing of the pies. I need to find out what brand they are, because they are excellent. Tremendous, to use a Mark Heathism.
Tremendous.
Splendid and tremendous.
Tremendous is a great word, and you should all use it more. Alistair Rattray. I'm not sure my voice is going to be up to this. Bart is apparently playing the last game versus Leeds. If Knudsen plays in that too... Do we assume it's a farewell? Also, Nydam as the utility fullback, discuss.
I can't see Jonas Knudsen playing in that game.
No. No, I think he's done now. I don't think they're beyond any kind of sentimental last appearance for Jonas. We've discussed the Bart thing. Naidam as a fullback.
Utility fullback, as in kind of if you need somebody. Not for me.
I think if they were going to do that, Monday would have been the ideal time to do it. Well, Kenlock's got a hamstring problem, was it? He played there. I mean, when he started his Ipswich career, which seems like a lifetime ago already, you know, he was playing as a 17-year-old towards the start of last season and was probably deemed to be marginally ahead of Flynn Downs at that stage, was getting more game time. I remember him making his first start, I think it was, up at Barnsley and putting this 17-year-old kid on all free kicks and corners and thinking he's got a left foot, he's not the biggest in terms of height, but he's certainly scrappy and gets stuck in and technically pretty good, and he's just really faded off the scene, isn't he? He's gone out on loan, had a pointless loan at St Johnstone where he got barely any game time and has really been on the periphery since then, hasn't he? He's had one very brief substitute appearance since he's come back. I don't know how things will pan out for him, because there's plenty of central midfield competition. I mean, left wing, left mid might be an option, because he played there as well when he first came through.
I think he's going to find John Nolan to be quite an issue for him.
Nolan's going to be Flames next season, isn't he? Any though?
I think he's got the potential to be
sensible.
A key man.
Yeah. Such a doctor answer. Going to be Flames. Potential to be a key man.
Tristan, I don't know what happens for
he's
him.
Not,
next.
He's not. He's a midfielder.
It's one of these where they talk about versatility can be a bit of a curse, that, you know, you're just forever known as the versatility man, and he may need to nail down a position.
James Gulk, have you watched Last Chance U? If you haven't, it's a great watch for the football fan, and I highly recommend it. Go Falcons. This is our friend James, who's a fan of American sports.
When he says football, does he mean...
He means gridiron.
Right.
What the Americans call football.
I've not watched it.
I have. It's very good. Obviously, you wouldn't be interested, Stu, because you only care about football.
Correct.
But if you are interested in things outside of football, that's one of the best things you could watch. There's also... Have you seen Quarterback Number One on Netflix?
No. Barry, our faithful driver, tells me about that very regularly.
Have either of you ever watched Hoop Dreams?
No.
Of course you haven't watched it. That's tremendous as well. Brilliant documentary. Moving back onto the football. Exciting. King Arthur Pickthorne. What is the solution with Andre Dizel? Is he being played in a position that doesn't allow him to shine? Or does he just need to bulk up a bit? Next season could be make or break. Definitely will be make or break, I'd imagine. King Arthur, what are you saying about Andre? We talked about Andre quite a lot on this show.
Yeah.
Is he being played out of position, or is he just not strong enough?
I don't know about out of position, because you'd probably say his best chance to shine is in a midfield three rather than a midfield two, and he has been playing in a three. We've talked about probably needing the right blend of players around him to show off his key attributes. He's not had the best couple of games in his last outings, has he?
I think, we've had this discussion so many times, haven't we? I think if you put Jack Lancaster on one of those wings, you will see a better Andre Dizel, because they're the balls he's looking for people who he can play him into the smallest amount of space, and he knows that the player's going to look to work that ball how he would do it. I think he'd look better with Will Keane starting as well. I don't know. Andre's a really difficult one, because he's so clearly got ability, but they just haven't found the right place, the right pieces to go around him, the right place for him yet.
Yeah, the issue with him is that when it's not happening for him, then he has that sort of languid style about him. He's never going to be an all action, you know, I'm having a bad game, but you can mask a lot of sins by running around and leaving a bit on someone, and the crowd can forgive you a lot of things. You know, his game is all about precision and vision and technique, and that's not quite been, when it's not quite dialed in for him, he's been a little bit loose in possession, then all of a sudden, you know, it doesn't look great. But you know, they've got to find a way to get him up to speed, because, you know, his talent is beyond question.
Now for something totally different. employee now of this parish, Tony Southgate.
Should we be taking these?
Would you rather be born without elbows or knees? Think of eating, getting dressed, or walking up the stairs, driving, etc. I'd say definitely elbows, because you can't walk without knees.
Do you still have the full arm slash leg?
I assume so.
Just got permanently...
Or they're just floppy.
Yeah, but that's another question, isn't it? Have you got permanently extended arms with no bendage, or are they, like you say, or are they just literally like flopping around?
If they're floppy, you have to have the knees.
Otherwise, you can't walk.
Because otherwise, you can't. Mm. You won't be moving at all.
Mm.
If they're fixed.
You could go for the straight leg walking.
But then be in more control of your
upper body. You'd be an absolutely tremendous race walker as well, wouldn't you? If they were fixed.
Yeah, because you could never be disqualified.
Exactly, that'd be the natural style of your walking. You just try and do it very
fast. You'd have to channel your energies correctly if you had this.
That's not the rules of race walking, is it? You don't have to have straight legs.
No, it's meant to be.
You just can't have both off the ground at any one time.
You're not meant to have an action that is construed as running. But obviously, a lot of them bend those rules. And a lot of them move quicker than any of us in here could
is
run.
Is that a sport?
Of course it's a sport.
Okay.
It's just a silly one. So, we've spent enough time there on Tony. Let's move back on to...
Far too much time.
Casanova Crow. Excellent name. There's a man grinning at us from outside. Is it enough to rely on the club bringing in a 20-goal-a-season striker? Or do we need other players to create more, support more, and chip in with goals themselves? The mythical search for a 20-goal-a-season striker is the same across the footballing world. That's what everyone needs to solve all their problems. That's what Town need. Will that solve their problems?
It'll go a long way to it. I think that is...
It's their biggest problem.
It's their biggest problem, definitely, because they are creating chances.
I do think they still need to... If we're taking the 4-3-3 formation, I've got no problem with playing one up front. I know people... are against it. They want to see two up front. That's the cry. I've got no problem with the one up front, but the two wider players in the 4-3-3, if they're supporting the striker properly, then that formation is great to watch. It's brilliant to watch because the wingers are getting narrow. They're cutting in. They're supporting the striker. If you've got players coming up from midfield to support the striker as well, and it could be great. But I think the all round package just isn't there for Ipswich. At the moment, and certainly at the moment, a lot of that's down to just not having any wide players. That's why we've seen Andre Dizel and Idris Elmizuni popping up on wings, because everybody's injured. It's not there.
Left wing and a right back would be the next two positions on my order of priorities.
Perfectly. On to the next question from William Mann, who says, how many signings do you think ITFC will make in the summer transfer window, and how many do you think we'll pay a fee for? So obviously 12 last season was way too many, as it turns out.
I could see none.
None, yeah.
How many do you reckon they'll make? Six?
Four or five. I'd go slightly lower, four or five.
Yeah.
Jeremy the Bari Boar, do you think it's a little early to be speculating about next season, as really we've got no idea what the squad will be because the vultures and agents are yet to start circling?
Yes, but I can't see. If you go through that squad and think who might leave, I know Edwards was mentioned earlier, I can't see... The players that will leave will be the ones that they want to get rid of on their terms. People that Lambert might want to move on. We discussed Jackson and whether the likes of Danasian and Rowe. I know Rowe said that he thinks Ipswich might want him back to have a look at him. But people like that will leave because it's on their terms. I don't see somebody... Bishop and Dizel we've discussed before. I think both of them will see that it's better to stay at Ipswich for now.
Definitely.
Who else? Bart would be the only one, really.
That guy really is smiling at us.
Do you think he's a fan? You think he's seeing the doctor and he wants to come in?
The back of my head.
Yeah.
It's enough.
It's the best bit of you, actually.
Absolutely. Best side. Jax Larder, friend of the show.
Number four.
Four. This is a good question. It's one I'm going to find almost impossible to answer. If you had to relegate one cuisine from your life, would it be Chinese, Indian, or Italian? And then he says, hard-hitting stuff, this.
Chinese. In a heartbeat.
What? I love Chinese.
Well, so which one are you doing then?
I don't know. Out of those three,
I'm going to do one. Chinese, absolutely Chinese, because you can replicate a bit of the Chinese fun with the Indian.
sick notes today.
Yeah.
Chinese, I think if you get Chinese right, it can be amazing. But if you're just getting your, run of the mill Chinese takeaway, find it a little bit greasy sometimes. Yeah.
It can't be curry. Indian food, curries, dals.
We know how much you love your curry.
That can't happen.
Yeah.
So you can take Chinese, I'll take Italian, and you have Indian, and we're all happy.
You get rid of Italian?
No, Italian's number one.
Ah, okay. All right.
Would it? You have that as number one?
Yeah. Pizza, baby.
And pasta. That'd probably be up there for me. I don't know, mate. So, but we should definitely go for curry at the end of the season, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yes.
Up for that.
Invite the Kings of Anglia Massive.
I don't know if there's somewhere big enough to contain
to house the army.
That'd be sobering if like two people.
This is probably what would happen. Lewis, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
The egg.
Good. Phil Marshall, considering how many changes Lambert's been making game on game, how many positions do you think he's actually settled on for next season, and who are they? So who in the current squad is safe for next season, and who are they?
Just to go back to the chicken and egg thing.
I thought we'd done that.
No.
We're going to get a doctor answer now.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So, all to do with evolution. So, some sort of reptilian animal has laid an egg at some stage, and then creatures have evolved to the stage where the chicken exists.
Well, of course, birds are descendants from dinosaurs, so it's entirely...
Exactly. So, the dinosaurs became before the birds.
Yeah.
And they laid an egg at some stage.
Which developed into a chicken.
An egg.
Obvious, if you think about it.
What's the question?
How many players in the current squad has Lambert decided is safe for next season? Who are they?
Are safe?
Well, yeah. How many positions do you think he's actually settled on for next season, and who are they? That's what Phil wants to know.
Yeah, this is names that are penned into the team sheet. Judge, obviously, because they've gone out of their way to sign him. No, I think that's up in the air.
Chambers?
This is a good way to do it.
Yeah.
You chuck them out.
Okay. Chambers?
I'm going to say yes, but I think he'll be not... I don't think he'll play in as many games as...
I think the Lambert rhetoric on Skuse and Chambers is far from convincing. You know, it's not these guys are the centrepiece, the spine of our team. It's, time catches up on everyone and they might not be able to play every game, and Cole didn't play on Monday because... Two games in 4 days is a massive, massive ask. And to be fair, it is. We've discussed before about how those guys need a rest and have played too much through too many injuries. But
Kenlock?
Not nailed. I think he's happy with Kenlock to be
pole position.
But not locked down.
Big Toto?
No.
Wolfenden?
He's not seen enough of him to...
So basically, we've got Chambers. We don't obviously Barton Gherkin. We've already had that chat. Emmanuel certainly not nailed down at right back.
No,
I think
another right back.
Yeah,
Miles first game of the season. Chambers
could be Toto, but I think he'd be open to
Toto / Wolfenden, depending on how well he does in pre-season. Mm. Kenlock at left back.
Flynn Downs.
I don't know. Is he?
I think he'll be in the 18. He'll be there. But whether he's a lockdown starter yet, Nolan, I think.
Nolan,
Rion Edwards.
Depends if they're playing the 4-3-3. Maybe if not, you struggle to see where actually Edwards would fit in if they go diamond.
And there's not really up front either, is there? There's no one.
I'm beginning to wonder if Rion Edwards is more suited to a 4-4-2 winger. I think he looks better in a 4-4-2 with two strikers, someone to deliver balls into the box and stuff like that. So again, you start to wonder if you're not playing that system. I mean, we keep forgetting about Jack Lancaster. I think he'll be, if he's week in, week out, probably not.
So we think of that then, we decided Chambers, Judge, Nolan, basically.
Probably Will Keane if they sign him.
If they sign Will Keane, but obviously we don't know. Okay, good question, Phil. Josh, do you risk... there's another Lambert one. Do you risk think Lambert is the man to take us back up? After all, his record speaks for itself. He had a chance to bring players in at January and they haven't been much use to us. Do you really think he's the man? Obviously, we discussed that already. We're saying you can't judge him.
Am I utterly convinced? No. Is there a few little nagging doubts in the back of my mind? Yes. Do I think that it's far too early to judge? Yes. It's more out of hope than, you know, deep-rooted belief at the moment, but I'm prepared to look beyond his managerial record post-Norwich, because I think there's been mitigating circumstances at a lot of the clubs that he's been at. But we have to see how this plays out now.
Kieran's...
Am I disagreeing? No, I'm done with analysing what's gone before.
Okay. Now, no more Lambo, please.
I think it's just... The right thing is just to give him a summer, give him a pre-season, give him a proper transfer window that isn't kind of weighted in a certain direction that he has to go down because you're trying to get players desperately to try and achieve something. Mm. You're weighted to a certain market, and give him a clean slate to start the season. And that's where I'm at with Lambert. Like, same as Stu, there are nagging doubts. Is he hasn't won games consistently for quite some time, but are there reasons to think that he might be able to? Yeah, there are, and I just want the new season to come around and see how he does that. I think that's just the way that you've got to look at it.
Kieran Stanley, question for Andy and Mark. Sorry, Stu, what's one prediction for tonight's NFL draft? Kieran, this will leave you saddened to say that I don't really follow college American football, but my prediction would be that a quarterback will get taken number one.
Kyler Murray,
yeah,
will be the number one.
Who's he?
Kyler Murray is a
quarterback.
Is a quarterback. Where are they going? And the Cardinals are picking at number one.
There you go.
So they will pick him. He is very interesting in that he was drafted number 9 in the Major League Baseball draft.
You get that quite a lot, don't you?
There's never ever as a player been drafted in the top 10 of both the NFL and the Major League Baseball draft. But that's going to happen today.
But he can play darts.
Probably.
Martin Bosanquet.
Someone will trade up for a quarterback as well into the top 5.
There you go. Quick before Stu, the Giants. Before Stu drops off. Martin Bosanquet. Is there a worry there doesn't seem to be much planning in terms of if we go up next season? Players like Chambers and Skew still talked about as key parts, but almost certainly won't be involved in Championship the season after. Possibly even Gherkin to stay.
Let's cross that bridge when we get to it, would be my answer.
There's a while before we get to that.
Are we talking about planning for the Championship 2020?
So this is planning for Ipswich Town going up next season?
Yeah, I think that would be very naive to be making.
That's when, if you do come back, that's when the transition from Luke and Cole into coaching begins then at that point. But, you know,
yes,
there's a long way to go before we start thinking about that.
Latest darts tally, 66% saying it is a sport, 34% no, quite a few answers. Colin Bell just says it's a sport, just a shit one. Josh Carson.
That's kind of where I love darts, but I acknowledge that it's not a world leading barometer of physical health.
Josh Carson says darts is a hobby, not a sport. Bang on, Josh. Martin Code, meanwhile, argues that any physical activity that takes hours and hours to perfect is a sport.
Mark Heath argues decorating, plumbing, gardening.
They're all athletic things that take ages. Well, they are, using Martin's definition. Anything that involves some sort of athletic ability that takes hours to perfect, that's a sport, according to Martin.
I cannot wait to watch the World Decorating Championships. It should be great.
I'll tell you what, I'd be more interested in darts, my friend. Tom Lawrence.
Would it, though?
Yes, very much so.
Darts scale a ladder. They have to put this big ladder up.
Yeah.
Scale that up to the top.
Wallpaper it. Yeah. Timed. I'd watch that way more than darts. Darts is just so lame. Anyway, Tom Lawrence.
You don't like darts, do you? That's my takeaway.
I haven't liked
what he likes.
I very much like what I like. And darts isn't it? I do like a lot of things, but darts is not one of them.
Do you like snooker?
No.
Okay.
Same reason. It's dull.
And it's not a sport. I'm not going to argue with you hugely there, but I do get mesmerised by the snooker when it's on.
Yeah,
I quite enjoy watching it, but I think that maybe says more about me than it does about
my wife. Is a fan of snooker. She says it's for the same reason. She kind of like gets entranced by it, but not because of any.
It's also it's the commentators' sort of hushed voices and It's just a nice cup of tea and just sit and watch.
If you've got time to sit down and watch the snooker, you're doing well in life.
Yeah.
It strikes me that's a sport you might enjoy.
I do. I did watch the. I watched pretty much the entire second session of Ronnie losing.
You boring bastard! Honestly, Jesus.
The guy. What was the guy's name?
Cahill.
Yeah. Isn't he like a childhood? Isn't he Stephen Hendry's nephew? But he's been slagging him off in the media Hendry has paid him no attention during his life.
Wow, might get interesting.
If my nephew was an up and coming snooker player, I would pay more attention to him. He said.
You know, we're talking about the hushed tones of the snooker commentator and how mesmerising that is. Are you aware of this thing now, and it's on podcasts and stuff, that people like you to whisper things?
Yeah.
And it's quite nice. So they get like people to do fan fiction where they make up a story involving the people, and then we would have to read it out.
In a whisper.
In a whisper.
Yeah.
Can someone write some like a made up story? So it would just start with like, it's 7 a.m. The Scarlet Lady pulls up outside Stuart Watson's house. Andy Hutch Warren smiles at him through the back window. It's time to go.
It feels like it's the start of some erotic literature.
Exactly. That's basically what it is. But
it's time to go to... It's going to be one of the worst stories ever.
Continue that story from there and we'll just whisper it out.
Friends, the final question from today's mailbag, epic mailbag. What's the running time on this? Because we've gone way over an hour.
1:25.
Jesus. Sorry about that. Tom Lawrence wants to know, who is better at rapping the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Hutch or the Doctor?
West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playgrounds where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool, and I'm shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys said, we're up to no good, started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight, my mom got scared and said,
you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air. I whistled for a
cab, and when it came near, the license plate said, fresh, it had dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say this cab was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it, you're home to Bel Air. I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8 and I yelled to the cabbie, you're home, spoke you later. I looked to my kingdom, I was finally there to sit on my throne as a Prince of Bel-Air.
We are so cool, we are so cool. Yes!
That's it, isn't it?
That's it. That's the end of the mailbag. So I hope you've enjoyed the nonsense. Again, it's been a pretty much epic display of Ipswich Town chat and TV discussions. And also a display of our immense rapping potential as well. If anyone wants to give us a record contract, you know where to find us. Please do subscribe if you're not already on your various podcast providers.
Stu had a question that was sent in by friend of the show number 001.
I feel like that was a good point to finish on though.
Let me just get this out of the way then. We'll finish on that. So subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, it helps in their visibility, and hit us up on all our social media, Kings of Anger on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all our various Twitter handles as well. Stu Watson, take it away.
Sorry, I forgot. Original friend of the show,
001.
The friend.
Direct messaged me a question because he lives in Florida, so he often wakes up after the mailbag tweet has been and gone. He wanted to know, what movie character are you in real life? I don't know if you want to think about that and come back to it on the next one.
What movie character are you in real life?
Anybody played by Jonah Hill.
You are a bit Jonah Hill, actually.
See what you say.
I'd like to be in Ghostbusters. I think I'd be Ray.
Good shout.
Ray stands Dan Aykroyd.
You'd have to be something involving science and doctoring, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So Dr. Egon Spengler, whatever his name
Egon
was.
Egon Spengler. Spengler,
sorry. Embarrassing.
I thought you'd know that.
Yeah, sorry. Who would I be? I don't know really.
You just want to be in Back to the Future, don't you?
Oh yeah. I want to be Marty McFly, baby. The best film of all time.
Never seen it.
So I guess we should move on. We should go and do some work. Stu's going to go and attend two pointless press conferences. We will speak to you again next week.